Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about the program we have today. Here on the program is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello.
Hello. We want to give a special shout out to all those who are viewing and listening to us on the Gulf Coast Christian Television Network. Welcome. My goodness, 1.4 million folks all the way from Pascagoula, Mississippi to Sandestin. We appreciate you inviting us into your living rooms. And of course, all of our viewers and listeners that listen to our program all across the country and the world. We're so excited about how you're connecting with us and all your communication that you're sending every day. And it's cool, and we're just honored to be with you. We have so much to be talking about today. You know, there's new things that are developing with Israel and this ground defense protective edge. We're going to be talking more about it today because Israel just launched a ground escalation to finish the job, to get the job done. I like that. They start things and they finish things.
Yes, they do. They fall through.
And they are going to finish.
Oh, yes.
They are going to finish. We'll be talking about that at length. Also, the Malaysian plane. Our hearts go out to the victims, a couple hundred of them that have passed away. This plane was shot down, reportedly, by pro-Russian separatists. And we want to discuss that and talk about that. Because you just don't shoot civilian planes out of the sky. Mm-hmm. And these folks are dead now.
Yeah.
And, the president made some comments. Other senators said that there's going to be some, you know, someone's going to pay for this. Mm-hmm. And we really want to discuss this and kind of, you know, unpack this. We're also going to be sharing, hopefully, in today's program. Don't forget that we are two programs back-to-back. So you want to stay tuned and stay connected. We're going to be talking about seeking the Lord while he may be found. There is a time and there is a season to seek the Lord. But just like during the time of Noah, there was a time when there was you could do all the seeking you can, but there was no finding because the door was closed. The time was over. Genesis says that God's spirit will not always contend with man. And so the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. And so we have a moment, a time to seek the Lord. And while you're alive, that's a really good time. That's a really good time.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it, fellas, if we will. My goodness, things have rapidly escalated in Israel, mm-hmm. and in its conflict with Hamas, Protective Edge. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to his cabinet. Obviously, they made a decision, and then they spoke to their nation, and they talked about doing a ground offensive operation, which is underway, has been underway. There are boots on the ground. There's tanks. They're going through Air Force, their Navy, and other military operatives. That's what was said, according to Jerusalem Post, other military operatives. So they are entering Gaza. This is something that was not ideally wanted, but now they are actually forced to have to go into. So the question is, like, why? Why is Israel entering Gaza Strip with boots, mm-hmm. with tanks, and now running the risk? And my understanding is that there has been at least one Israeli IDF soldier that has been killed in this,
conflict
right now as a result of being on the ground. But why now? Well, there's two simple reasons. There's two simple reasons. One, and the most obvious, is that when there was an opportunity for a ceasefire where the Egyptian president, El al-Sisi, brokered a ceasefire, mm-hmm. Israel accepted it and said, okay, we're done. Mm-hmm. And but Hamas said no. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when your enemy says, I don't want to stop fighting? I don't want to stop attacking you. I don't want to stop throwing rockets into your border repeatedly, over 1,500 rockets now since July the 8th. And we just want to continue to harm your civilians. We don't want to stop.
All right.
So you have to defend yourself.
Absolutely.
Okay, you have to defend yourself. And then there's something interesting that happened. Something very interesting. Hamas has been working really hard, and as IDF, Israel Defense Forces blog reports, that they have been working very hard creating a network of underground tunnels. Understand that these tunnels are not, you know, holes in the grounds with some dirt in there like you would think some animal would kind of just, you know. No, these are elaborate tunnels that are 59 feet underground and span the length of 1 mile.
Wow.
With concrete, and IDF says that even material that was sent into Gaza for civilian purposes, you know, construction purposes and that type of stuff, they believe that Hamas has taken that to use, you know, for the advancement of these tunnels. So what happened? We know, one, that Hamas refuses to stop fighting, but secondly, what happened is that there was something interesting. We're going to have a video here for you, but we want you to see what happened when, through these tunnels, terrorists popped up from under the ground, Steve. They popped up in Israel from underground. They had RPG rockets and all kinds of ammo and all types of stuff to do harm. They were getting ready to launch a surprise terrorist attack. I want you to watch this. You're seeing, there they are right now. They're falling out of the sky, and just wait for
they're
it.
Crawling out of the ground.
Out of the sky, out of the ground. There it is! Oh, wait for it. There was a bomb that was dropped right on top of them.
Wow.
And so just when you think that you're going to surprise attack Israel, no, that's not going to work. Israel, not only do they have the Iron Dome, but they have eyes in the sky, and they're gonna take you out. And so a decision was made that, no, we have to destroy these tunnels. This is not only that they not, you know, agreed to the ceasefire, but now they're trying to come into our country. See, that's what happens. See, when you have strong borders, and they know they just can't climb over a fence into your country, they have to start digging underground. You know what I mean? They got to make elaborate networks. I'd like to say that we had strong borders in our nation. They just kind of walked through the gate. But that's what happens when you defend your borders. They have no other alternative but to go underground and try to sneak attack you. And so in order to finish the job, Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, says that we have to. We have to go underground to properly take care of this. And I got to be honest, it's really encouraging to hear the Chancellor, Angela Merkel from Germany, say that Israel has the right to defend herself. And that they support Israel. It's actually wonderful. This is just a statement that came out from Germany. They understand that Hamas basically is doing stuff against Israel, and added that countries that come under attack must be allowed, must be allowed to defend themselves. Both sides must accept painful compromises, but we stand by the side of Israel when it comes to self-defense. And this was released at a news conference. So encouraging. World leaders know that what Hamas has been doing. They understand this. And so I love what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says when he made a statement about the IDF soldiers. And this is really encouraging. He says they are unbelievably impressive, courageous, determined, full of faith and values. I stand in wonder at the motivation of our soldiers, both the regular soldiers and reservists, who want to take part in the campaign. They understand that their objective is to defend the citizens of Israel. They know that they are fighting for a supreme goal, to defend our home. I mean, what a leader and what a military that understands, hey, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do, and we're going to rise up to the challenge. What has been happening, and really according to IDF and Jerusalem Post, is that these rockets are continuing to bombard Israel. They're continually to come in. Just, I mean, if you have the Red Alert app, I mean, all, you know, I couldn't sleep. It just kept going on. All the time, it just kept going on. 1,500 rockets. And you're going to be able to see firsthand the types of rockets. They have four main rockets that they shoot and the length. But 40% of Israel's population lives under the threat of being bombarded by these rockets. Can you imagine 40% of the United States being threatened like that? That's like almost half the country.
Wouldn't stand for it.
No,
they wouldn't.
Not at all.
That in itself just kind of highlights the just the mercy and the patience of Israel, that they have been taking continual rocket fire and they've gone this length of time before responding and basically executing this offense upon Gaza. And it's just like they've gone through all this and said, you know, we want peace, we want peace, we want peace. But finally they're like, okay, fine, we realize it. It's not going to happen. And it's just, it's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. This is what one of the chief of staff, I believe he's in the military, he says, our forces will employ their full strength to achieve our operational control in the area, and we are doing everything in our capacity as proud Israeli soldiers. I mean, there comes a time when you say, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a time where you say, listen, you're not going to come and take three of our young people, students, children, and you're not going to murder them and kill them and throw them in the ditch. No, 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 no. That's not going to happen. And the danger here, I mean, as they continually live in the crosshairs of their enemy, is that now this opens up an opportunity now for what we believe is going to be more assaults from the north, assaults from Syria, assaults from Hezbollah, and they're going to be, you know, dealing with both situations. Not only that, but the Lord even showed us prophetically that terrorist attacks are going to increase, where there's going to be, you know, potentially large amounts of, people that are going to actually die. We have so much more to talk about when we come back from this break, where you're actually going to see these rockets firsthand and see what is being done and the capability of these rockets. More when we come right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And we are calling it iPhone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That's one small step for man, but...
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
The
war with Germany has ended. The forces of freedom have triumphed.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these
Imagine the unimaginable. What would the world look like if America did not exist?
America, in theaters this summer.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a pastor, and a lot of the stuff he talks about, like certain employers requiring people not to say this, or a school rejecting a kid doing this or that. Do they have any literature where I can have, like, all this information in front of me when I'm talking with my congregation about all this going on?
Well, Terry, the best place to go, and we've got a lot of information on this, is our website. And we've got a great search engine on the website. We have a whole section on what the rights of Christians in the workplace. We've got a whole section that deals with those issues. It's in a question-answer format. It's very easy. You just go to aclj.org. And I encourage pastors and church leaders to go to our website regularly. There's a lot of updates, a lot of material there. And if you want to get information for your churches, it's a great resource and a great place to go.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And right before the break, we're just giving you an update on what has happened and is happening in Israel in this conflict with Hamas, Operation Protective Edge, protecting the borders of Israel, protecting the citizens of Israel. And there has been a ground now, boots, assault, offensive, if you will. Israel has now boots on the ground. They're entering Gaza. They're bringing the tanks. They're bringing their intelligence in there. And the purpose of this is to eradicate and deal with these networks of underground tunnels that are 59 feet in the ground. They spread a mile long.
Wow.
And full of concrete and no telling what is in there. Weapons, of course, and so they're actually protecting their borders, but they got to go on the other side to fix things, if you will, and they're doing it. They're absolutely doing it, and all of this came about because Hamas refused a ceasefire, on top of that, not only they refused a ceasefire, but then they decided to come in from underground. Something interesting about the underground, I mean, that's where we found Saddam Hussein, underground in a hole. Mm-hmm. And they like holes. And then one of their guys is going to come out in Mecca from a hole. I mean, something about these holes. But we're going to get them. Or Israel's going to get them. And they're going to stop causing harm to innocent civilians in Israel. So we want to ask you to continue to pray for Israel. Continue to pray for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They're under, you know, obviously extreme pressure from everywhere, but they have a job to do, and they understand too that maybe the world may not understand it, but they feel that the price of inaction is a whole lot heavier and more to pay than the price of the action that they're presently taking right now. I want to show you, an image that really begins to explain. This is from IDF. And it shows a map of Israel, and then it also shows you these rockets that Hamas has been using to launch into Israel. They all have different ranges, but they have the Qassam, the Grad, the M75, and the M302. And the larger the rocket or the missile, if you will, the longer the distance that they're able to reach into Israel, all the way into Tel Aviv, Jerusalem. I mean, 40% 40% of the nation of Israel lives, you know, in they're endangered by these rockets. Mm-hmm. And you never know when they're going to come in. Thank God for the technology of Red Alert Israel, that at least they have some warning, but they only have 15 seconds. 15 seconds to quickly get into a bomb shelter, and in most cases, really, that's not enough time. That, you know, there's not enough time. We want you to see how the danger of this these Ranger rockets and exactly what they have the potential to do and what they've been doing. Watch this.
During Operation Pillar of Defense in 2012, the IDF crippled Hamas terror infrastructure in the Gaza Strip in response to rocket fire against civilians. Since the operation, Hamas has upgraded its weapons arsenal. The terrorist organization now holds about 10,000 rockets and missiles. Hamas produces most of these weapons inside Gaza, but many of them come from Iran. The Qassam rocket, armed with a 9-kilogram warhead, can strike up to 17.7 kilometers from its target. The upgraded Grad rocket carries a 45-kilogram warhead and can strike targets 48 kilometers away from Gaza. It endangers over a million Israelis. The M75, with a 60-kilogram warhead, it has a strike range of 75 kilometers. Like the Fajr 5, another Hamas rocket, is one of the most dangerous rockets in the Hamas arsenal and threatens about 3.5 million Israelis. Hamas rockets endanger about 40% of Israeli civilians.
Imagine if it was your country. Wow. Imagine if it was your country that 40% of your population lived in danger of rockets entering their homes, hitting their schools, hitting the churches. I mean, think about this. So we want to be able to empathize with what is happening with Israel. We want to be able to support them in every which way possible, whether you pray, of course, always the chief thing, most important thing, but you want to give to organizations, Kufi, Christians United for Israel. There are many of them, even ministries in Israel right now. As you can imagine, when your nation's at war and being fired upon, children are not going to school, business is not being conducted. Things are on a halt because they're in protective mode and they're in offensive mode. And so we want to pray a quick resolution that the job can be finished and this doesn't escalate into something more. Mm-hmm. Pray for the North. Pray for what's coming out of the North because, you know, we just feel that that's where it's next. I mean, already Syria has launched a rocket that hit the Golan Heights. I mean, there's been no collateral damage and no lives have been hurt, but also in Lebanon, they shot a rocket as well. It's been known that drones from Iran have flown into Israel. So here we are at that point where this has taken a very interesting turn, and it could get even deeper, and it could be more horrific. But we believe that God is the one that has this is the true Iron Dome. He's the one who has his hand over Israel. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. And he's going to protect the apple of his eye.
That's right.
We just want to stand. You want to be on the right side of history, and you want to be on the right side of the issue, and that's with God. Mm-hmm. You want to stand with him and what is close to him, and that's the apple of his eye. Israel will stand. Israel will defend herself. But when it's all said and done, where will you be? Did you not pay attention? Were you not alert? I want to encourage you, those that are viewing and listening, to continue to share everything that you're hearing on VFN TV. I've had many conversations this week. A lot of people, you know, they're being educated, they're being informed, things that they had no idea were happening, and they're beginning to download the app. They're sharing segments. They're going on to the torch. Go to VFNTV.com, and you will see a whole an assortment, if you will. Mm-hmm. We have drop down menus for so that you can go and look. But of course, share. And, of course, share on our Facebook because we want to get the word out. We want to be able to inform and educate because the media is not doing it. Right now, what the media is, they're all embedded in the Gaza Strip, and they're all giving a Gaza perspective, but they're not giving an Israeli perspective. And what we want to do is give the right perspective, which is God's perspective, protect the nation of Israel and see what they've been under. And let's deal with this and eradicate this. And to get a little story behind the story about why Hamas rejected a ceasefire. We do have covered this in a previous program. Get more context of what's happening. Get more understanding that this just didn't happen yesterday. This is just not something that occurred in the last several months. There is a method to the madness, if you will. This has been laid out already, and it's just beginning to unfold even more and more. So stay tuned, stay prayerful, stay alert, and stay supportive towards Israel. You know, we want to talk about also in today's program, we want to make mention of the tragedy that occurred with the Malaysian airline, or plane, rather, that was actually shot down. When we get back from this break, we are going to talk about it. We're going to discuss more in detail what occurred and potentially who's responsible for this. But you just don't shoot down a plane, a commercial airline, and kill over 200 people. More. We get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we want to get right into what happened with the Malaysian jet that's reportedly been shot down. CBN is reporting about this. Watch this.
Welcome to this edition of Newswatch. I'm Heather Sells. A Malaysia Airlines plane carrying 295 people was shot down by a surface-to-air missile near the Russia-Ukraine border. Ukrainian authorities report there are no survivors. Both Russian and Ukrainian officials deny responsibility.
Right now, we're working to determine whether there were American citizens on board. That is our first priority, and I've directed my national security team to stay in close contact with the Ukrainian government. The United States will offer any assistance we can to help determine what happened and why.
In the past week, Ukraine claimed Russia shot down two government planes. Pro-Russian rebels reportedly bragged on their Facebook page that they shot down a Ukrainian cargo plane. At the same time, Malaysia Air reported losing contact with Flight 17. Pro-Russia rebels were seen by an Associated Press reporter a few days ago with a Buk surface-to-air missile system that can fire a missile up to 72,000 feet into the air. The plane was flying at 33,000 feet. And our senior international correspondent George Thomas joins us now from Israel, where he's on assignment. George, you have covered the conflict in Ukraine extensively. Your thoughts on what has happened here?
Well, it changes the dynamics and the nature of this conflict that has been raging for several months on the eastern border of Ukraine, the border with Russia. Keep in mind, if the reports are true that about a half a dozen Americans were involved, this is the first time that Americans have been killed in this ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine. But clearly, the calculus changes dramatically. The initial assessment is going to be who actually fired this. Was it the pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine, or was it the Ukrainian forces? That's something that's still to be determined. But clearly, it changes the nature of the conflict, Heather, and what it means going down forward.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting, the possibility that there were Americans who lost their lives. And if Russia was responsible for the downing of this plane or involved in any way, how could this play out internationally in the court of public opinion as it influences foreign policy?
You know, it's interesting because I was there in Ukraine about two visits the beginning of the year, and then obviously the crisis that was playing out in the streets of Kiev in downtown Ukraine. But, you know, the pressure has always been on Russia. Just a few days ago, the United States slapped sanctions on Russia, going after their key industries, their banking as well as the oil sector. But this increases the pressure even more to a larger extent, because the Ukrainians have been saying all along that the pro-Russian separatists that have been fighting, that have engaged in the eastern part of the country, have been heavily funded by the Russians. And this gives the Ukrainians, gives those around the country of Ukraine more ammunition to say, listen, Russia has its fingerprints over all of this.
Right. George, we know that President Obama and Russian President Putin have spoken by phone about this incident. At this point, how do you think the U.S. and the world should proceed, and what are the key pieces of information that we need to know?
I think it's a little bit too early because I'm sure investigators are rushing to the crash site and going through the wreckage and so forth, and trying to, you know, this is DNA you're looking for fingerprints, for clues and so forth. But they have to identify who fired this. I mean, was it the Russians, or was it the pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine, or did it come from across the border? Those are all very critical questions that are going to be that you're going to need to find answers for. But you have to remember, I'm here in Israel covering the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas. And suddenly, things have changed dramatically. Now the focus is back on this part of the world where for several weeks this conflict has been going on between Russia and Ukraine, between the pro-Russian separatists and the Ukrainian forces. And the international community, the international press, has not been covering it because it's been complicated and it's been going back and forth. Remember that in the last few weeks, Ukraine has made several advances to retake major towns along the eastern part of the country that were held by the pro-Russian separatists. And so they were making gains and pushing the Russians back to the border. This clearly changes the calculus.
All right. George Thomas reporting from Israel on what is going on in Ukraine right now. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Game changer. Game changer. And the bear just won't go away. Here we are in the middle of a conflict with Israel and Hamas, and this emerges. And you got to understand that there are consequences when you're supporting rebels. You know, if this was done by the Russian separatists, the rebels, then you got to understand that these weapons allegedly got to them from Russia. And if Americans have been killed, and they believe so, this really has some serious consequences, and we just have to wait and see what, you know, how everything unfolds. But understand that the world is changing as we know it, and we're living in some serious fulfillment of prophetic days, and it's for us to be watchmen on the wall, to be alert, to be prayerful, and to understand that the seasons in which we're living in, understand the signs of the times. Because they're being written and displayed everywhere, no longer on the wall, but on your screen, on your internet, on your tablet. They're coming in daily, and this is just a horrific, horrific thing that has happened. And just interesting that all of this kind of comes on the heels of sanctions that the president just launched in the middle of this crisis, just launched on Russia, banking sanctions. And you think, you know, let's focus on the borders. Let's focus on the chief thing here. Let's focus on what's happening in our own country. As our country is being weakened, we're seeing all this conflict around the world. If there's ever been a time, in your life as a believer to understand the power of prayer, there's ever been a time for you to devote consecrated time to pray and to seek the Lord and to hear his voice, believe me, this is the time. This is the time to notch out blocks of time in your life where you can spend time with the Lord, abide. And we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, but you need to get into the Word of God. You know, Jesus clearly told us that man can't live off of bread alone, but by the proceeding word at the mouth of God. And you're going to need to hear God on a daily basis for what's happening. And then the Holy Spirit will tell you, you know, he can tell you and will tell you. You just need to ask and seek him, and he'll begin to unveil and show you and reveal strategies of the enemy, things that you need to pray for, things you need to be concerned about, and ways that you can take action. But we can't forget that, because oftentimes we want to default to other areas, but the most powerful thing that you can do by far for anyone and for yourself is to develop a lifestyle of prayer that can't be underscored enough. And it's something that we see in the scriptures. We see that Jesus repeatedly, when the disciples were looking for him, where was he? He was in the morning on the side of a mountain praying. Jesus himself was in continual relationship, continual communication with the Father, and he only, you know, did what he saw his Father doing, which means that he was in relationship, he was communion, he had the heartbeat of God, because his actions were simply to please the Father. And so in this day, more than ever, you know, God's calling us to walk in together with him, to be united with him, but we can't be united with God with our own thoughts and our own plans. We got to be united with his agenda. It's kind of a, he has this funny idea. I mean, it's, that it's about him.
Right.
It is.
What a concept.
It's all about him. But we won't do that if it's about us. And maybe that's why we have such a lack of prayer, is because that means that we need to humble ourselves and put us in a position to talk to the one who it's all, you know, what it's all about, all it revolves around. But oftentimes people don't speak to people that they're not interested in their opinion or their desires. They just stay isolated from them. And God's calling us back. God's calling us back to a place where we can find him, relate to him, make him the Lord of our life, commune with him, and have divine revelation. Understand that we are working in partnership with God to advance his agenda, his purpose, his kingdom, not our own. So we want to pray for insight, and we want to see resolution come to this issue in Malaysia, and pray for our elected officials. I mean, you know, we have a president, but we also have, you know, a Congress and a Senate, and there are many good men and women there, some that don't need to be there, but we do have good men and women there. We need to pray for them, that God will give them a voice during this time, to give them support, and that they can make the necessary changes that maybe other parts of the government can't or won't do. Either they don't have the ability to do, or it won't do. But we need leadership to rise up now and to make definitive decisions like are being made in Israel. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons why Israel works, besides God's hands upon them, is because they have strong leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Bibi says what he means, and he means what he says. And when they say they're going to act, they're going to act.
Mm-hmm.
And they finish the job. And that's what you need. You need to know that you may not agree with everything your leader says, but one thing you have to know is that when they speak, they're going to fulfill. And that's okay. You may not agree with them, but at least you know that mm-hmm. they're not talking out of both sides, but that they're going to do what they say they're mm-hmm. going to do. And at least you know what you're dealing with. Oftentimes, we don't see that today. But there's hope. There's hope. As we turn and put God in the forefront, those things will change. More when we come right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, that the church is going to have to be, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream. Hello to the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. Out there in the sandy beaches. It's real hot right now, I think.
Very hot.
Mm. But so if you have a sailboat, write to us, and I'll be some, I don't know, what do you call that?
Visitation.
I'll be some ballast. John and I both got to go, because you guys sit on one side of the boat to ballast the boat.
Bounce the other side. There you go.
Pat wouldn't even put, he doesn't have
it. He can't go.
No.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And, there's a time to seek the Lord. And we need to seek him while he may be found. I mean, there was a time, a period of time where people were seeking the Lord and then finding him and then being refreshed by him. But, Genesis says that God's spirit will not always contend with man. And I think oftentimes there's a tendency to, believe it or not, not pay God any attention. And so there's a notion or an idea that if I'm not walking with God, that that's okay. Maybe I can get to him when I'm able to.
Mm-hmm.
And not a good strategy. Not a good strategy. Isaiah 55, verse 1, begins to give us an invitation. The Word of God says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. You know, there's bread in God's house. God is giving us an invitation to seek him, to come to him. He tells us in the Gospels, those who are weary and heavy laden, come, for I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He stands at the door in Revelation knocking, not pounding, not kicking the door down, but knocking. And he says, anyone who hears my voice and opens the door. So you got to, it's not just hearing God. A lot of people hear the word of the Lord. They hear instruction. They hear wisdom. They hear God speaking to them. But they are hardening their hearts and they're putting fingers in their ears. And Jesus says that if I stand at the door and knock, anyone who hears my voice and opens it, the door, then I will come in and eat with him and him with me. That there is an invitation for relationship and intimacy, but you have to open yourself up. You have to open yourself up. And so with that, you'll find God. And in verse 6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. See, this is the thing, is that oftentimes the enemy will shame you into doing something. Actually, he will entice you and bait you into doing something. And once you've sinned and you've fallen, then he'll shame you for getting involved in that sin. And God's saying, listen, the pardon is found not in you hiding or trying to do what Adam and Eve did and cover yourselves and do your own sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pardon is when you come to me and you deal with me. You come out of the darkness.
Right.
Come into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, you know, when you're driving and you've done driving schools and, you know, you've taken these courses, you've learned a whole bunch of things. And interesting about traffic signs, that a stop sign means stop, you know, but have you ever heard of a California stop?
No.
Never heard of California. I heard that a California stop is when you come to a stop sign. And you don't come to a complete stop. See, a complete stop is you stop the vehicle from moving. You turn to your left and you turn to your right to make sure that everything is clear. And then you proceed to go from a stop position. But a California stop is you're right up on top of that stop sign. And instead of coming to a complete full stop, you kind of tap that brake a little bit and stop the, you know, pause the car and run right through the stop sign. California stop.
Sounds like a yield.
Yeah, not even a year. This is like I'm going to test it. You pause the car for a little bit and blow right through. Yeah, a rolling stop, Chris says. Thank you.
Mm.
Well, that's not a stop.
Yeah.
That's not a stop. You didn't stop at the stop sign. And a lot of times, you know, believers don't stop at the stop sign. They don't stop at God's word. They don't stop in fully confessing the things to the Lord. They kind of casually tap that brake a little bit and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about God is that he can't be overlooked, he cannot be taken advantage and or ignored for too long. And he has given us the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. These are commandments to live by. These are values. And many make a fatal mistake of mistaking God's kindness, his mercy, and his compassion for weakness. You know, God is not a pushover.
Or tolerance.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God's not a pushover. He is not begging humanity to follow him. He's not just waiting around for humanity to make up their minds. I think that there's a warped concept that people think that they can just come to God whenever they can. That God is there and when I need something, I can reach out to him. Right. And where things get bad enough, no, God is holy. He must be revered. And when we go back to the beginning of the book, beginning of the Bible in Genesis, the very, very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we know that he created man. And if God created us and everything that we're living in, I would dare think, Steve, I would dare think that maybe we should care about the one whose world we're living in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like a young person, a child living in their parents' house and doing their own thing. It's like, let's just have a little talk. Since I'm the one that's providing, say, the water, the food, the electricity, the bread, the clothes, everything that you have, really. I think that maybe there needs to be a little respect here, and you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's come to grips with reality, you know what I mean? And
that's such a huge paradigm to have, because a lot of times when you don't think about it, it's the fact that, you know, we're breathing his air.
Yeah.
The very fact that he gives us the ability to breathe, he gives us the blood, the fact that our heart pumps, he holds us together, and it's just like, that's such a loving, merciful, and patient God that would allow us to say whatever we say, or say, I don't.
Yeah.
Is there really a God? Do I really need God? It's just like God's giving you the very air to doubt him, and he still loves you.
Still loves you.
Yeah.
And the thing is that God, he could have chose to create robots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really did. But one of the most amazing things is that he gave us a sovereign will. He gave us the freedom to choose him or to deny him. I mean, he gave us that sovereign will that said so much about him. And so we have a choice. What are we going to do? And oftentimes we don't understand God's love. We take his love for granted. We take his kindness for granted. And when you do that, you basically put God in a box where he just becomes a lucky rabbit's foot. Mm. He becomes a good luck charm. And you dishonor him. And there's such a dishonoring approach to him. Listen, he is king, he is lord, he is savior, he is master and the creator of the universe. He is the boss. He is the man, you know. And he's loving, he's gracious, he's compassionate, he's filled with mercy.
Mm.
He empathizes with your weakness. I mean, Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. I mean, he wants to relate to us. And us to relate to him, but you can't get it twisted. He's not like a Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a perception at large that many people have. He's just like a Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. When I need something, I'll dial him up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they begin to be shocked when that just doesn't work. And it's like, well, you don't have a relationship. Your perception of God is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think about in the days of Noah, I mean, here Noah's a preacher of righteousness. He's telling the people the truth. The judgment is coming. Turn from your wicked ways. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Now is the day. Today, right now, it's happening. Turn to him. And he's prophetically building an ark as a constant reminder. I believe that was a preaching a message with every nail, with every wood board, with every, assembly of this ark. He's preaching a message before them, and they're ignoring him. And they don't turn.
Mm-hmm.
But as the water started coming down, and the water started to rise, and they started realizing, I think we're in trouble. You think, well, how could that happen? Well, listen, we experienced the flood here, it didn't take long to realize that this torrential rain that's coming down for the last couple of hours is not stopping, and things are starting to change. That was my garbage can floating down the street. Yep, that was my neighbor's. You know what I'm saying? Things are changing here. And you can only imagine what was happening to them. But then the door closed in the ark. See, there's a season, there is a time to go after God. There is a time to say that I'm going to turn my heart to him. And if you don't turn your heart to God while you have the chance, while you're alive, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of myths. Hopefully we can talk about this in a coming program. Lies that Satan has so convinced so many that are true. But there's one huge lie that I've heard. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it, where people say, well, when I get to heaven and I die, then I'll begin to talk to God and we'll negotiate and I'll explain the error of my ways. He'll understand. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. God understands. He's love. No, the time to explaining and the time to dealing with God is now.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, Don't harden your heart. This is the day of salvation. He loves you. He has a plan for your life, but you have to understand that your paradigm of who God is must be what is true. And you find that in His Word. You find that in who God says that He is. He loves you. Turn your heart to Him while you still have the chance and walk with Him. Make Him your Savior. Make Him the Lord of your life. It'll be the best decision that you've ever made. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push Submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. to have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.